You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now,
no doubt.
It's gonna be a football game
here. Okay,
I'm here.
All right, let's go, baby.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the dream season is now complete. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
Swing and a pop-up. Side the ball, down the line, in foul ground. He's got plenty of room, and he's got it! And the Giants have won! They have won the World Series for the third time in 5 years!
5 to go. For the third time in 6 years, the Blue Cross are Stanley Cup champions!
The final whistle sounds! The Los Angeles Galaxy are the first to 5.
There he is!
What about that? It's John Brooks! It's John Brooks for the USA!
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
And your host, Sean Garmer and Matthew Pollard.
This is the new America. We are the new America.
All right, welcome to another special edition of Football to Football, where we are talking about the United States getting to that final of the Women's World Cup for the second time in a row. With me here today, I am the host, of course, Sean Garmer, and with me is my usual co-host, Mr. Matt Pollard.
Ginger Ninja at your service.
And joining us again, Mr. Chris Asbrock.
How you guys doing?
All right. Well, I mean, obviously, doing so well after the U.S. delivered such a, surprising just game here against Germany. Matt, I'll take it to you. I mean, I don't think we were expecting this kind of... I think we were sort of expecting Germany to kind of run things, I think.
I wouldn't say Germany trying to run things, Sean, but I think certainly, you know, most models, I know Opta had some work out there. I want to say it's 538 from ESPN, and, you know, Germany was a slight favorite. I think the worst odds I saw for the United States was a 43% chance of advancing to the final. Germany at a highest of a 57%. But you look at this, the U.S. did everything but score in the first half. They were dominant possession. They did a whole bunch of creating chances. You know, Alex Morgan probably missed a few chances. Megan Rapinoe was getting up and down the flank. And then, you know, in the second half, you know, Germany makes some adjustments at halftime. They come back. We can talk about the penalty in a little bit. But then, you know, the U.S. takes advantage of their chance on the PK. Germany doesn't. And then O'Hara off the bench, Abby Wambach doing her thing. This was exactly what you wanted to see out of the United States. I don't care who they're playing in the final. I firmly believe they will be the favorite. I firmly believe we're winning in Vancouver on Sunday.
This is exactly what U.S. fans have been clamoring for the entire time from this team. They had played, and it's, you know, and, you know, originally before, you know, before we started the show, I was talking with Sean. It seems like the United States is peaking at the right time. This is exactly what I have expected from this club all the way through, you know, from the first kick, you know, from the opening kickoff of this tournament for us. They played absolutely not spotless, but about as well as you could expect from this team. You know, they were just, and I wrote in a semifinal preview, I picked Germany to win 1-0. I didn't think that, you know, they were just scoring goals. They were going to rebound, but they, I tell you what, Jill Ellis, I got to give her credit where credit's due, because I've been wanting to hammer her so far. Well done by her to change the tactics to the 4-3-3, get this team in position to do exactly what we wanted all along. And, hey, we're in a World Cup final again, and we're looking, you know, and I feel, like I said, I think they're peaking at the right time, and I'm feeling pretty darn good on Sunday about winning the World Cup.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, I think the first half, the way things went, the control, the everything. Apparently, I've just gotten the scroll that we're getting Argentina and Chile in the Copa America final on Saturday as well.
So, okay.
That'd be a good one. I like that.
Argentina today.
Wow.
So there you go. Chile could win one at home there. But still... I think the defense again just came up trumps. Julie Johnson, if she doesn't win some kind of award for just this entire, not just being on the team of the World Cup or anything, she's got to win some kind of something, because
yeah, I don't know if she's not one of the contenders for the Golden Ball, to be honest, Sean. I mean, other than surrendering the PK, which I thought was the right call, but maybe a soft penalty awarded. Has she had a wrong step this entire World Cup?
No, and that's what I was going to say. She's been player of the tournament for me overall in the entire tournament. I mean, I can't argue that. I'd say top player of the tournament by far.
The one thing that I would say to that though, Chris, is if Carly Lloyd ends up doing something really big in the final, I could see the momentum of what she did last game, what she did tonight, and what she did in the final getting her the votes. But if I were to average it over the course of the entire group stage, Julie Johnson's the reason this team's gone 500 and some minutes without conceding, and really it was a collective defensive problem, not her as an individual, that caused the one goal against Australia. But ever since then, they've continuously improved. They've been stout defensively. You know, people want to say Hope Solo has been playing great. She hasn't really had anything to do though, because of what her backline's doing in front of her.
And see, that's the thing about the United States. They are so lucky that we've got, I would say, the best goalie in the world. I mean, Nadine Ongar, she's right up there as well. She's right up there with Hope Solo. I give Hope Solo the slight nod right there, but knowing as a defender, when you have the best goalie in the world behind you, if you make a mistake, you know that she can, you know, she's easily capable of bailing you out. So you automatically play with that little bit of an edge. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I mean, defensively, to shut down Itog and Sausage like they did today, oh my gosh, I got to give a lot of credit to the midfield as well, because they shut down all channels to them. And it was a blast to watch tonight. And, defensively, this is exactly what the United States has done all tournament long, and can't ask for much more from them.
Yeah, I think defensively, this is kind of what we expected, I think. But the weird thing was, you know, here we're talking so much about Germany's defense as well, and I mean, I wasn't really convinced by it. You know, they were saying, oh, the one weak link was that their center back pairing, the Mustas or whatever was out with the yellow card suspension last game, and that's what's going to make all the difference, all this stuff. And maybe it's down to, we should probably give Joe Ellis a lot of credit coming in with the 4-3-3 finally, showing a lot of gumption to continue what she did in the last game, where she didn't start Abby. She came up and left Morgan Brine in there. And it's been, so far it's worked out, I think. Just going with the speed, she made the right subs. You know, Kelly O'Hara and Abby Wambach, they were both vital in that second goal. So, I mean, I just think that right now, even the coaching is peaking at the right time. I mean, everything is just clicking for them. And I think Carly Lloyd especially, you know, how much did we malign her in the group stage? And then all of a sudden here come, you know, the games that really matter, and she has stepped up in each one of them. So, you know, credit to everyone there, I think. But, you know, looking ahead, I mean, unless is there another point that you guys want to – I mean, we did have that portion there in the second half where Germany came out. And what do you think that was down to? Was this just Germany kind of figured out a few things and we're starting to click a little bit, whereas they kind of seemed out of sorts and rattled in the first half? Or
I think that was – Sean, I think that was Germany making good adjustments at halftime, and I think that was the U.S. just trying to – I think that was them just holding pat while they figured it out what Germany was doing. I would almost say that was to go as expected. I don't know that I would necessarily knock the U.S. team or knock Jill Ellis for not anticipating the move that Germany was going to have and then countering with that. So I'm completely fine with that. And, you know, really, I tweeted out right as the score went final. You know, I really feel like the U.S. slay the dragon. You know, U.S. and Germany have been 1-2, I believe, in the rankings. I don't think England can beat the United States. I think Japan's going to have a better chance. But, you know, I really – the U.S. slayed the dragon tonight. And I don't, and they've got to be feeling confident. You know, if they come out and perform, I think they're going to be fine, regardless of how either team they play in the final adjusts going into the second half.
Well, to piggyback off your point, Matt, I saw on Twitter, and I think it was right at halftime, they were saying, you know, obviously I forget who it was that I saw, but they tweeted out saying, you know, expect Germany to make the proper adjustments. And they're going to come out flying. And the first 20 minutes of the half are the most important 20 minutes of the tournament for the United States. And that's exactly what, like you said, they slayed the dragon. And they sat back and I mean, it's no fault to Ellis or the United States at all. They just had to weather that 15, 20 minute, you know, storm that Germany was going to bring. And, you know, you see the PK early on, which, you know, Johnson had to do.
That's a big thing, too. They did miss that PK, which could have changed things.
Well, you could see, though, the momentum, you know, in the first probably, the last half hour of the first half, the last 30 minutes of that first half, everything was going for the – I mean, it was just – that ball was rolling for the United States. We had so many chances, and we just couldn't put it away. And I was sitting there, and I was, I had a house full of friends, and I'm sitting there talking to them. I said, you know what? This could go to where if Germany gets a break – it could end badly for us because everything's going our way, and then something as simple as a PK, like, you know, like that, could really end it for us. But then what does Sausage do? Steps up and misses it. Germany's never missed a PK in the World Cup in their World Cup history. Shanks it wide. Things like that, and then there you go. And then we get a gift on the PK from Morgan getting taken out just outside the box. But hey,
yeah, things are rolling. What'd you guys?
I mean, technically the
rule does say if the foul finishes inside the box, you can call it a penalty. So.
That's true. I mean, the way I looked at it, I was like, well, I'm going to put it outside the box. But you know what? Like I said, when things are going your way, they're going to go your way. You just have to take advantage of it. And that's exactly once Carly Lloyd put that ball in the back of the net on that PK, I got that sense of, okay, Germany was done. Because it was just like that was the final nail in the coffin for him. And obviously when Kelly O'Hara put that ball in, and I mean, that just slammed the door shut on any hopes that Germany had. But it was like once that, you know, that ball's rolling on our, you know, it was a snowball effect. And it was like, okay, we have to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what we did. So I got to give credit to the U.S. for weathering that storm in the first half after not getting anything. But then that first 20 or so minutes of that second half, We survived it, and then, hey, here we go. We went right back to our game and took it to them. And, you know, hey, we're playing on Sunday now against, you know, Japan or England.
So I have to ask the question. I don't like doing the whole complaining about the referees and whatever, but do you think Germany – we're not listening to the post game right now. I mean, they had a little bit of it, but I think had they not had – some kind of UFC or NASCAR afterwards on Fox, we probably would have got more of it. Does Germany have a gripe with the whole Julie Johnson should have got a red card on that penalty?
I don't think so.
It wasn't an obvious deniable goal scoring opportunity for you?
No, because I just think, I mean, to me, it wasn't obvious. It was just two players battling for the ball. she did hold her back, but she went down pretty soft. Now, if it was a little harder tug, I would imagine that you could have seen a different outcome there and a red card. But I didn't think it was anything malicious. I thought it was, it deserved a PK. She did go down a little soft, but that's what strikers do. They go down on the slightest bit of contact and make it look good. I got to give her credit. She got the PK drawn. But no, it wasn't a red. To me, it wasn't a red card.
Go ahead, finish your point, Chris. You finish.
Sorry. Everything kind of just evened itself out, though, call-wise. There were some calls that the U.S. could have had that weren't even remotely called. They were just a simple foul, and they could have been cards. So things like that just evened themselves out on my end.
And then to your point, Johnson was even with the German player. I can't remember her name. And then she gets beat on the play. This wasn't like she was backtracking and she was completely behind and it was in on breakaway. And then even if you look at it, the German player is extending her leg. And then even after the foul, barely gets a touch to the ball and it, goes into, row 10 or 11 behind the goal. So even then she was reaching for the ball and it wasn't that far away to where potentially Hope Solo could have come out and tried to challenge on the shot either. So I don't think it's a dog zone at all, especially the way the foul happened. Maybe if it's a few more steps and then Johnson, does a sliding tackle and takes out both her legs from under her, I could see it, but I thought it was a fair call. I was fine with the yellow card. I thought a yellow card was warranted, but not a red.
All right, fair enough. Then that means the referee did not mean it. And to be fair, again, had Sausage hit that PK in, and let's say everything goes the same, which probably wouldn't have, but things even themselves out in the game. Each person had an opportunity to get a penalty. One team buried it, the other one didn't. So. It is what it is. And I think, it's probably fair for Julie Johnson because that would have been a real shame if she wasn't representing the team in that final the way she has played this entire tournament. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I heard him on the broadcast say, after the call was made, she was crying and everything like that, and she was visibly upset. And after after Sausage missed that PK, teammates went up to her and kind of rallied her back up. That right there is exactly – that's a good team right there. That is a veteran team who they know how to win and know how to get it done. And that's exactly what we saw. And, hey, there we go. That's what it's all about. And that's why I feel really, really, really good right now about this U.S. team.
All right, Matt already – both of you guys have kind of mentioned this already, but – if you're the U.S., who do you want to face? And who do you personally want to face? Because I kind of want the rematch. You want to beat the champions to say you are the champion. Japan has done what they do this entire tournament. They've been organized. They score when needed. They sit back and defend and something, and they do their thing. But they have more capable players than China did. So I think even if you get the same kind of game that you got from China, I think you have to be a lot more worried about the players that they have and the coach that has much more experience and everything. But what do you want to see in the final? What do you think is the best matchup for the U.S.?
Well, jokingly, Sean, I want to play England because I want a United States versus England matchup the day after the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. would that not be the perfect omen? Like John Oliver could even go off on this, and it would be wonderful. So as he referred to, he said, I think they had a 4th of July web exclusive last year, and he said, or as they call it where I'm from, the Day of Colonial Aggression. But to that point, I think I don't think there's any doubt that England is the lesser of the two teams in this case. So from a security standpoint of wanting the game in the bag, so to speak, I would kind of want England. But I agree with your point, Sean. Not that the U.S. needs validation, because they convincingly won a group that was not a joke group whatsoever. I think Australia validated some of the hype they had going into the knockout round. And then, Sweden is still an excellent team. No doubt that they absolutely dominated the team. But, if I want the icing on the cake, I want to put down the last 4 years ago champion, and I want to enact revenge, and I want to right the wrongs for, oh, let's see, not 2003. What was it where they lost in the, was it to South Korea in PKs? Was that,
they lost to Germany in 2003.
No, well, not 2003. What am I thinking? No, I was a junior in college. That would have been it was 2011 then. Yeah.
Yeah, 2011 last time we played.
Yeah, so in that sense, like, I want revenge on 2011. I want revenge on Japan. I want the icing on the cake. And I'm going to have it and eat it too.
You know what? I would have to agree with that. I think that I've got kind of a vibe from England that I don't want to play them. They just seem like things are starting to bounce their way. You know, against Canada in front of 54,000 at BC Place, they took advantage of a couple opportunities, and they put Canada away, who everyone thought Canada was moving on. I mean, everyone pretty much booked Canada. I would say I didn't see a lot of things that they were predicting them in the final. And England played pretty well. I feel really good about, obviously I feel better about playing both teams, but I feel much better about playing Japan than I do England. That revenge factor is there. In a game that we never should have lost to Japan in that World Cup final in 2011. So, yeah, I mean, give me Japan. You know, like you said, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's, in this case, I don't think Japan is the best team in the world, obviously, but hey, they're defending World Cup champs, and hey, we got to knock them off, and I've got a good feeling we can do that, especially if we play like we did today.
Woo! Right?
Well, there you go. I was waiting for that.
If only Ric Flair was here to go crazy on the Walking on Chicken.
I was gonna try and cut that in full Ric Flair mode, but I couldn't get it going. But I tried. I was thinking about it, but.
But yeah, I think at the end of the day, either way, I think Matt brought up a good point that it'd be kind of cool to, you know, the day after Independence Day, we're talking about that. Even then, you know, if England loses, they're playing in that third place game on our Independence Day itself. So that in itself has some irony if they lose twice. I think, like I said, I went to Japan just because we got our revenge of the game that I agree with you we shouldn't have lost. But hey, you know, that's how soccer is a very unforgiving sport. You know, sometimes the team that, you know, France felt the same way when they lost to Germany, you know, so I wonder how they feel if they would have played in this game right now. But again, the team played tremendously. You know, now we have to wait to see who wins out of the next match, and then it's on to Sunday for the final. Okay. So it's exciting for everything right now. But I think when I kind of worry about England the most necessarily, because they're kind of also sort of peaking right now. They've kind of gotten in these games, a lot of people didn't think that they would win. Certainly not to get through this to the semifinal. And now talk about if they beat Japan, talk about slaying another dragon there. You know, I think they carry a lot of momentum with them coming into play in the U.S. And I think they could probably feel like they match up in certain... obviously, you know, I think the experience factor and all of that goes to the U.S., but, you know, I would certainly worry about England as well.
You know what's kind of crazy is, and I mentioned it, like I said, in a semi-final preview I'd written, it's crazy that the English, you know, the Three Lionesses, as they're called, they've accomplished more than the Three Lions have since 1990, making it this far in the tournament. That's crazy. I mean, just to think about that, you know, England hasn't made it this far, you know, since 90, and both men and women, that's incredible. And that, you know, it just seems like everything, like I said, everything's broken their way. But I think that the U.S. overall in a game against England.
To be fair,
I think
the U.S. men haven't gotten this far either.
Well, that's very true. That's fair. Yeah, well, man, you just killed my point there, man. That's got a good thing going with that, man. That's tough now. But no, I mean, regardless, though,
they haven't gotten here yet, Sean.
See, there you go. We have 2018 coming up. You never know.
Yeah, but if FIFA doesn't try to screw us, you know.
Well, hey, that's a whole different topic for a whole other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, but I think though, England. I think we match up better against England. I think that if we have the same lineup we did today, speed lineup, I think they could really take it to them. But you know, regardless, the way the U.S. is playing right now, they're peaking, like I said, at the right time. I can really see them, you know, taking the two, both teams, whoever we play. Best part is we just have to root for overtime. And, hey, let them take it to PKs tomorrow night. That's what I want. We'll see what happens, take it out of them, and we'll go from there then.
Not to mention we're going to have the home field advantage there being just as we did in this game. So that's going to be interesting too if we get a big – I think certainly it would be – from a crowd perspective, if England gets there, that'd be kind of interesting too, because I think you would have a lot of there's a big English contingent that's there, so it'd be interesting from lots of different perspectives. So, but I think we kind of covered it all on this one. Like I said, not just the women are playing; we've got also the Copa America final happening. I think on Saturday though, so. You know, if you want to watch maybe Argentina try to tie it up with Uruguay in the historical standings for the Copa America, or maybe Chile becomes the first, I think, I don't even know how long it's been, or if, I know for sure there has been a home team win on home soil, but it would be pretty interesting for Chile to go this far and beat one of the biggest teams in all of the continent. And that final and beat Leo Messi. So lots of soccer to pay attention to this week, and of course MLS as well. So, all right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
I was going to say, plus we have U.S. men on Friday night against Guatemala.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Got the Guatemala. Are you guys going to be busy on Friday night?
I will be at the game in Nashville on Friday.
Oh, Sean. Oh wow.
I was going to try and make it down, but it's my wife's birthday, so I figured, you know what, it's probably not a good idea to go down. So.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
I'll be watching it though. I'll be ready to watch it, I'll tell you that.
I have a friend at Vanderbilt. It's a 1 hour flight from St. Louis and Southwest goes there. So I mean, and we have the day off anyways, so yes.
That's a no-brainer, man. No-brainer.
Well, if, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it'll take Matt a while to get out of the stadium, so.
Feel free to proceed without me, Sean. Worst case scenario, I send you a couple tweets. You can read them on air.
Sweet. There you go.
Well, Chris, I mean, if you've done all the festivities by then, we can do this thing. Talk about the friendly and see if they're going to look good going into that Gold Cup. So, and of course, we will be, I don't know that we're going to do the final unless something happens with Russ. Looks like it's going to be LWSC doing the final on Sunday, but, you know, I should be on there. As Matt already said, you're welcome, Chris, as well. And LWSC and this podcast will be alternating the U.S. games for the Gold Cup. So that's going to be, we still have more soccer for you, which is great. The summer of soccer continues here for the international teams. And then before you know it, all those European teams will be starting their club journeys again. But all right, until Thursday night, where myself, Gary, and Randy will be talking about some more American football and all the other sport things that are going on in sports, we will see you later.